Money and politics collide in France this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The vicissitudes of power were on display in France today after the former president of the Republic, Nicolas Sarkozy himself, was brought in for questioning in what is apparently a corruption case involving the possible illegal use of campaign money. Sarkozy's lawyer was also held for questioning. The BBC's Hugh Schofield is covering this from Paris. Mr. Schofield, good morning.
Good morning.
What do we know about Mr. Sarkozy today? He was detained.
He's being held for questioning by investigators who are looking into claims that he misused his political influence to try to get decisions in his favor in the judicial system. Basically, the background of this is that there are several investigations into claims that Mr. Sarkozy illegally raised money for his party purposes and for his various campaigns. So it's a big claim, but of course he rebuts them very fiercely and very vociferously as well.
Would you say they're politically motivated?
That's precisely what he says. He and his supporters say that it's no surprise that every time Mr. Sarkozy makes some kind of step back towards the frontline politics, that another twist is revealed to the press. Something happens which detracts the attention away from Sarkozy as potential leader and turns him into potential felon. And they say that is definitely politically motivated. They see in all of this the dark hands of the Socialist Party and the Elysee Palace, who they think are coordinating their friends in the judicial system to bring Mr. Sarkozy down. I think the big picture is, and it's undeniable, that the French judiciary is politicised. They both, left and right, have friends in the judicial system who will do things for them.
BBC's Paris correspondent Hugh Schofield, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
All right, let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up this morning. We'll have data later today from the people who do the ordering at American factories. An index derived from checking with purchasing managers in China today hit a 6-month high. There's also U.S. car and truck sales for June on the way, information that has to be compared carefully because June had 2 fewer selling days in it compared to the month before. Secretary of State John Kerry is in Panama today for the inauguration of a new president, Juan Carlos Varela. Panama's economy needs work, as Gigi Duban reports.
Panama is a superstar among Latin American economies. Since 2010, GDP hasn't dipped below 7.5%, according to the World Bank. You can see that strength in the capital, Panama City. Cindy Arnson is director of the Latin American program at the Wilson Center.
There has been a phenomenal construction boom along the waterfront, large office buildings.
Also, the government is expanding the Panama Canal, where Panama makes most of its money. But Varela has to tackle corruption, drug trafficking, and money laundering.
Money laundering in Panama has long been of concern to the United States government and to the U.S. Treasury Department.
Richard Feinberg is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He says for a major banking center like Panama, transparency and good business practices are key. So now, Feinberg says, the U.S. will do what it can to help Varela turn campaign promises of reform into deeds. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Today, a new hotel opens in downtown Los Angeles. 320 immigrant investors from 14 countries put up 95% of the financing for it. It's part of what's called an investor visa program. Now, I hadn't heard of those. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler got the assignment to learn more.
The sleek, modern lobby is unusual because it serves two hotels in one building, a Marriott Courtyard and Residence Inn. General Manager Eric Palmer says the two-in-one model appeals to investors.
From an owner's lens, it makes the hotel a lot more efficient. We have one front desk team, one housekeeping team, one engineering team.
Almost all of the financing came through what are called EB-5 visas, otherwise known as investor visas. In return for a $500,000 investment that creates at least 10 jobs, foreigners get a green card. Palmer recently met with some of the hotel's EB-5 investors.
Most of them had a very hard time speaking English.
Where were most of those folks from?
China.
One hotel investor, William Jeffcock, is a British citizen by way of Monaco.
Because my home and residence was Monaco, there were very few paths which I would have qualified for. So the EB-5 really was the only way for me to come.
But he says his hotel investment was not primarily to buy a green card for the U.S.
No, I hope to make money on this. And I believe the next 2-3 years, I'll be making 2-6% on my money.
But other businesses using EB-5 money don't always deliver what's promised. In several states, the visa program has been used to defraud investors, and some observers dispute the number of jobs created. Then there's the issue of who collects the money. Even though the U.S. government is giving away the green cards, it's the private sector that collects the $500,000 payment. John Vogel teaches at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth.
So if you really want to create jobs, why not do it directly by having the money come to the government, and then the government can decide how to allocate that to create jobs.
He says the government could use money from investment visas for hiring workers to repair our infrastructure or expand internet access, the kind of economic development that benefits more of society than new hotels. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And Cuba, land of the vintage car because of import restrictions. But last year, the country loosened up the rules, making it easier for Cubans to buy a fresh set of imported wheels without having to jump through hoops to get a special permit. As we reported last year, however, the challenge was going to be that most Cubans might not be able to afford new cars. Now the data is in the nearly 6 months since the rules were changed, Cubans bought a total of 50 new cars and 4 new motorcycles. The reason: low standards of living, high taxes on the imports, leading to sticker shock. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.